Hope you had a great weekend. I hope you found out, like I think I did, we still love our country, don't we? We definitely do. 250 years. And this country and its ideals, it's worth celebrating. Really is. So you guys did a good job with that. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're getting back on education because I don't think we get where we are in this country without public education, without the country getting behind what goes into all of that as well and supporting it. So we'll get on education here today, talk a little bit about civics, right? That's one thing that's being approached here in Montana. Let's do more of that. Susie Hedlund is with us, Montana's top educator, our superintendent of public instruction. Got a lot to go off of here today, but we'll probably kick right off with this 2025 Youth Risk Behavior Survey. Still some troubling news there, but some good news in that as well. That today, if you're going to get educated, sometimes it does happen by accident.
That's usually
not the best kind. That's the school of hard knocks. But there's good education in that as well. But we're talking about getting prepared for a lot of things. And for today, like I said, this youth risk behavior survey, some things to peel into there. The schools are always operating. They've got summer programs going on. And there was a recent summer institute. Good participation, I understand, as I was chatting with Susie Hedlund, our guest here today. We'll look back at the 2025-26 school year ahead a little bit as well, this youth risk behavior survey and more things on the plate. Good morning, Superintendent Hedlund. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Did you blow off some fireworks this weekend?
Not too many, but it was nice to watch.
Gosh. I was in at River Rock in Belgrade. It's a little subdivision there. And I bet there's $1 million of worth of fireworks going off in the air. They really got after it. I'll talk about that a bit later on. But hey, thanks for coming on. Susie is our superintendent of public instruction. Previously served as vice chair of the Montana Board of Public Education as well. Also taught school. You were a superintendent in Townsend. Is that right? Or were you just educating there?
No, I've been a teacher, principal, and superintendent in our small to our large schools across the state, so I'm excited to bring that experience to the table here and get to make some changes for our educators across the state so they can focus on being instructional leaders, our school leaders, and our teachers.
I think that experience helps an awful lot as you look and see what teachers need and what kids need to move forward here. Let's start off. There's a lot of places to start off here, but this Youth Risk Behavior Survey, you guys do it like every couple of years. I remember talking a couple of years ago in 2023 regarding this, and there were some things that bothered me about suicide ideation as well. Drugs were troubling. But 2 years later, you guys folded in, I think, some homeschooling here as well. Let's talk about this survey, but there's good news in it.
Yes, definitely. So I think one of the most important things is that I really appreciate the participation. It is voluntary, but we do utilize the information to direct our programming and our supports to the school. So it really does inform our efforts. And so it is very important. We do see a trend in students being more healthy and, that they're growing in their personal confidence and taking the initiative to lead more successful lives. Just making healthier choices was the trend. And I think the most exciting was, we know we still have work to do with Montana and Alaska continuing to be the highest on, mental health issues with our young people as well as our adults. But we did see an all-time low in suicidal ideation in 30 years. So that was a good thing to see.
Yeah, it seems like, and when you're looking at mental health, you're playing the long game anyway. So it's hard to trace back when we started making inroads, so to speak, into mental health. But this 2025 survey compared to the 2023 survey shows that inroads are being made. What do you make of that?
Yeah, there's a ton of work and energy around this. This is definitely a passion of mine, as well as many other educators and school leaders across the state. And there's a lot of great programs out there. We're partnering with the Safe School Center and many individuals and other organizations to provide workshops like Mental Health First Aid and QPR, and there's a lot of different programs. So one thing I want to do with this data is kind of dive in. It is at the release level, you know, we do keep it, we don't disaggregate by school or things like that, mm-hmm. but we can dive in and take a look and see where we have really good data or where we might see bright spots and see if they have certain programs they're utilizing. So I'm hoping we can gather some more information on maybe what led to these improved results. As you said, it is a long game and there's many factors, but we're hoping to gain some insights.
How important is it? And I know that's kind of a subjective question, but that we understand that a student is prepared to learn. Mental health is a part of that. You know, our food intake is a part of that. You know, just physical health. There's a lot of things that go into that. And maybe we go into that a little bit here, because I think that's what this risk behavior survey is telling us is, you know, and you had talked about we're going to use it here and use it there. Kind of go into that a little bit.
Yeah, so it is really important. It's our top priority is student well-being, and that includes mental health, physical school safety, the physical well-being of our students, and nutrition. So I have a little bit of information to share about nutrition as well this summer, but we, you know, definitely want to make sure that our students are taken care of and ready to learn. So that is a top priority of the office, and we will continue to support schools in that. We have the summer food service program going on across the state too, because those free nutritious meals are really important across Montana. We also had a lot of schools last year implement our local foods program. So we are getting more local beef into our schools across Montana, which I think is incredible. We had some schools even do all locally sourced meals. We have the Montana Marinara program, which we partner with the Department of Commerce and Agriculture on to can our own marinara sauce with locally sourced squash and other vegetables that meets many food groups. So all of these components are really important to our students being ready to learn.
Yeah. Let's talk about one of the survey indicators here. And I'll just throw it out there. You guys, there was almost 3,000 people, 2,941 students, 42 public high schools that participate in this. That is really good. I think that gives you a good cross-section. Students reported being sad or hopeless, that depression, right? In 2023, that was 43%. In 2025, that dropped down to 29.2%. And then, you know, seriously considering suicide. You talked about suicidal ideation. And this is a gut punch to us, too. 2023, it was 26%. A full quarter of our students had seriously considered suicide. It's the lowest level now in 30 years. What is it down to? It's still like 23%, isn't it? It's still something that's a gut punch to us. How do you educate toward that? How do you educate, toward depression or toward suicidal thoughts, with and still keeping the reading and the writing and the arithmetic in the forefront?
Yeah, so a few different components go into that. One thing that we did see also is that there is less, you know, physical bullying that leads to some of that depression and angst with students, but we do still see that, you know, there's more virtual bullying and that there's still pretty high screen time and a lot of use of social media. And we know that these things can lead to depression and mental health challenges for students. So I think making sure that we use technology wisely and that we help students find that balance in their life of how much they are on the screen and what they're engaging with and how that impacts their mental health is really important in this day and age. So that's an area that I think we can focus on and support students in order to continue to see improvement. So that's one thing to be aware of that I gleaned from the results of the survey as well.
Are there programs that, and I suppose it's different from, you know, school to school, so to speak, jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But how do you deal with depression in students? I mean, Is it a public health class? Give us kind of like a real life situation. Pretend I'm a student and I've come to a teacher. Is there a program you put me through?
Yeah, so it definitely depends on the level of, and, you know, each individual case, what's going on. So we have counselors in our schools that teach classes about, you know, being well, and they do cover mental health topics, but then students may also see them individually, or depending on the student's level of need, they may, you know, schools can work with parents to get them greater support. There's a lot of really good virtual support happening for students now. Because of our rural nature in Montana, that access to mental health service and that deeper level of therapy, we have set up a good infrastructure for virtual access at no cost for schools in many cases. In more populated areas, there are different organizations that are offering in-person care. So part of being a school leader is just providing those resources and being that problem solver and connecting families to those community resources that they need. One thing that we're working on with the Safe School Center is getting more educators trained in threat and risk assessment. So there are, if it does reach a certain level of concern, there is a survey that can be done to assess whether a student's safe to be at school or what level of care they need. And the parents are involved in that. Of course, we always get parental permission, and we encourage educators and share that information with them that that needs to take place. So there's a survey that can be done to identify if a student's in danger of harming themselves. And then we all work together to get them what they need.
Thank you. That makes sense. I appreciate that, that approach there. And then engaging, you know, other public resources as necessary too. That's what they're there for. Susie Hedlund is with us. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
That's just one major thing I learned while I was in the field, is we really had a lack of folks trained in that area in the schools, and our school psychologists were being overwhelmed by that. So we have teams getting more educators around the state trained to administer those surveys.
Yes, gotcha. We're going to take a break here shortly, but I want to, 68% of students reported eating their veggies. Right. You talked about nutrition. That's on the uprise. And I think that's good. Hopefully that carries over. I think there's less cigarette smoking, 9% in 2023 to 6% in 2025. If you go back a couple of decades, that number's really high. Marijuana use was higher in 2025 I'm not sure what it was, 13%. I don't have 2023s here. It just, this bullet tells me it was higher. Talk about those kinds of things. How do you guys attack marijuana use, cigarette use, and those daily lifestyle things?
Yeah, we do engage with the schools in tobacco prevention and have a program for that. So that is ongoing. We have heard from some administrators that there's concern with, you know, this day and age, there's a lot of different ways. And with the smokeless tobacco and different access to marijuana, we do see that students have more access these days. However, like we said in the beginning, our high school students right now seem to be making healthier choices in their lives, whether it's choosing the more nutritious food, to choosing not to engage in such risky behavior with, you know, alcohol use down. And those are all very encouraging insights. And I think it's just part of the whole movement to be, you know, healthy, positive young people.
Yeah, I think so too. And I appreciate that it's catching on at that level. That means it's happening in the homes as well. And parents, I think, are recognizing that their retirement plan has a lot to do with how healthy they are. Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund is with us here today, a long career in education as well, and also graduated Helena High School and then earned her Bachelor's of Education, Master's at Montana State University as well. So a lot of time in Big Sky Country. I'm going to pass one note along and then move on down the road a little bit here, Susie. But marijuana use declined to 13% this year in that youth risk behavior survey, down from about 37%. I just found that stat a couple of decades ago. So that's real good news, especially as we see now like 5 or 6 years where marijuana has been legal in Montana. So there's much more access to it too. Schools are dealing with so many things, Susie. So a big tip of the hat to all the educators, administrators out there, everybody that works in the school system. It's so vitally important to us. Summer Institute, you guys just wrapped that up. What is this?
So the Summer Institute happens annually. We do it on MSU campus, actually, speaking of MSU. So We're thankful for their partnership. But we host educators from all around the state. We had incredible attendance, over 700 different attendees. We have all different kinds of folks from schools, from counselors to coaches to teachers and leaders that get together to talk about education in Montana. And we just had incredible keynote speakers and had great feedback on the sessions. Speaking of the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, we did have a lot of our sessions around that area. One of the main keynotes was how to grow well-being in teachers and in schools. So really talking to the educators about what they need and taking care of themselves so they can give that to their students. We talked about AI and best practices for utilizing AI safely, safe technology use in our schools, and just had a great time to get together and talk about how we can improve and make a difference in our schools. And it's just always fun to be there with our educators from all over the state.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall when educators start talking about their classrooms, their communities. They've got quite a challenge, I think, going forward. What are they excited about? What do they see that's working in the classroom that they're going to get more of?
We talked a lot about using high quality instructional materials and really focusing on, you know, early literacy and mathematics as we move on, giving them ideas for best practices. You know, they also can sign up to lead a session so they can share if they have something new and exciting that's working in their classroom and really learn from each other. And then we talked a lot about designing interventions, and we had a keynote speaker that talked about interventions, and we really worked to bring in not only some of our best in Montana, but some big name national speakers. And we talked about interventions that support students, and we're seeing this work all across the nation. You know, if a student isn't reading at grade level or doing their mathematics on grade level, then we need to make sure they have an intervention plan. They're getting some extra support in place so that we can get them there.
Yeah. I remember the Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, and this was coming down from the administration about refocusing schools toward the reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I have, I guess, you know, expressed concern over the years that we have gotten so far away from that. I mean, we're running all these social kinds of experiments through our public education system, it seems like, and it gets difficult. Give us that sense of where we're at now. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago. I think that was like a year ago when there was some redirection toward that. Is there momentum still?
Absolutely. And I was very excited because that aligned with what I ran on. You know, I ran on getting education back to the basics. And so the grants that we're seeing come out and the push at the federal and national level is aligning with my state priorities. You know, number one, as we said, student well-being and student health. And then number two, just that strong foundation in reading and math. Of course, there's other components to that we care a ton about, like financial literacy and civics and other things that are very important. But we are really focusing in on reading and math. We have a whole data modernization program going on at the OPI. I'm thankful for the schools being patient right now because we have a new website and all of these new things coming out. Of course, change is hard and takes a little time to learn, but we are going to have data systems free for all schools that will help them identify students that are not on target in reading and math, and suggest interventions that they can utilize to get them up to speed. So I think that that's going to make a big difference and be a game changer for our educators and our school leaders across the state.
Governor Gianforte was on last week, talked a bit about the legislature readdressing the need for civics education in Montana. How's that going?
Yes. So we do have, you know, Constitution Week now that passed last session. We also, my office, in partnership with the Board of Public Ed, put the civic seal forward. So this year was the first year that students graduating could earn a seal on their diploma to express that they went above and beyond in civics. And so what that incorporates is that they take a test similar to what, you know, folks take when they want to become a citizen. Mm-hmm. And so they take the test, they have certain courses that they need to complete while they're in high school, and they need to do community service, because that's a very important part of civics. They need to give back to their community, be engaged, be involved. That can look different in every community and for every student, but we have them submit all of that information and they can earn a seal on their diploma. So this year we want, you know, we're hoping to get even more students to participate in that program and get involved. And we encourage businesses to keep an eye out for that on their diploma when they're thinking about hiring students.
I'm getting a little up there in age, but there was never a time when there wasn't civics in my upbringing, so to speak. Where'd it go?
I don't think it went away. I just don't know if it was emphasized. Like you said, there's so many different programs and different things on the plates of teachers. Yeah. And I think that that's where we, you know, may have gotten a little lost. I think it's really important to prioritize those core subject areas and then also make sure that we always, you know, say the Pledge of Allegiance and that we always focus on our civics and those key pieces. So just kind of a reinforcement of those components right now is going on, is what I would say.
I have a minute here. It's probably not enough time. Financial literacy. I'm still at 101 level. I probably could have used some of that many years ago. Talk about how kids are embracing that.
Yeah, so that is something that passed through the legislature as well. Financial literacy is now a required course in high school. We have a lot of great opportunities for students to take those courses. Some schools are providing their own. Some are utilizing college-level courses to teach that. And we also have a platform that's available for all students and families. We have over 6,000 memberships now created to Level All, and families can get on there. They can look at student loans. Students can learn about interest rates. They can learn how to create a budget, build resumes. It's just a really phenomenal tool that we have for students and families on our website.
Yeah, about time to budgeting, investing, taxes, debt, entrepreneurship. Glad that that's on the plate now for all of our students. Susie Hedlund, she's Montana's Office of Public Instruction, opi.mt.gov. You can go there. You can actually find, too, if you want to look up that 2025 Youth Risk Behavior Survey. It's a pretty good document. It's a good snapshot. They do it every couple of years. You can find that. And as Susie had mentioned, that website is new, and it's looking good, Susie. I love the look of it here, too, and I started looking around. Things are easy to find. So good job on that.
Thank you. Yes, it needed to be done. So we have a whole data modernization project going on. We're trying to streamline and modernize, you know, single sign-on, easier use for our educators. That was a huge burden I felt while I was in the field, and it was really important to me to make it easier for the paperwork to get done, to reduce the burdens, and so that educational leaders and educators can focus on, you know, being with students, educating, working with families and their communities. And it's going to take a little time till we get all the kinks out. So I thank everyone for their patience, but we're really excited about what we're getting accomplished in
yeah.
that area.
And thank you for that focus as well. I know the educators need that. I have some, you know, family members and and that's what we went to school to do as well. It just the challenges nowadays and the burnout's there, and it's real. And so, you know, pulling back from all this, oh, I don't know, we're just heaping on all kinds of things on our kids and our educators. Like I said, I think we're running social experiments through our public school system, and that ought to be stopped. And I appreciate your approach to that. This is like a potpourri thing here. So where do we want to go? You're headed off to D.C. Why don't you tell us about that and what you guys are trying to accomplish there?
Yes. So I'm going for our Education Commission of the States, which includes multiple legislators from around the state, as well as Dr. Aaron Ellis out of Hellgate Elementary, our chair from the Board of Public Ed, Dr. Tim Tharp. We will be heading to Sue Vinton, Kerry Seekins-Crow, our state representatives and senators will be heading to D.C. to meet with Education Commission of the States. We talk about policy. We learn about, you know, policies that are working well in other states and different directions we might want to take. And then I will also follow that meeting with chiefs. So my partners from the nation leading their states in education. And it's just a really important time to talk about what's working, you know, what we can learn from one another. And we will meet with the Department of Ed to talk a little bit more about returning education to the states. And I've been very involved and engaged in that. I was one of the only state chiefs that got to have an individual meeting with Secretary McMahon last time I was there to talk about how this works. I think it's really important that we have a voice at the table. So I have been very loud and in those rooms and making sure that we're advocating for how this takes place and that it will work for Montana. So we have received some of those waivers. And so we have had schools apply for that, which allows them to have more flexibilities with their federal funds. So I'm encouraging schools to take advantage of that opportunity, and we'll continue making progress in those areas at the state level as well.
Yeah, it seems like that's that whole moving forward, and it's not just school choice, it's flexibility. It's educating at the individual level, right? And then focus on education overall. It seems like that's returning a little bit, and hopefully it's catching on. There are some states, I suppose, that are kind of behind the times there. Talk about what flexibility does for a state. How do you use flexibility to accomplish goals here in Montana?
Well, a simple way I can explain it that we're offering to schools right now. So we received the waiver to allow this. So now we have, last time I checked, I believe 7 schools put in for it for next school year. So if they want to pool their funds from some of these different funding streams, especially a smaller school, rather than have a little bit of money to spend on technology or a little bit of money for a student wellness program, they can put those funding streams together so that they can do something big. So they can make a big purchase for a district-wide program or a new curriculum or training that's going to have a great impact on their school. So that's what these flexibilities are allowing schools to do.
Has school choice opened up some things for our kids?
Well, in Montana, we still don't have true school choice.
Not true, yeah.
We do have open enrollment, so parents can choose which school they would like their students to attend. We do have some cleanup to do on that legislation, and it has created a little bit more paperwork for our districts, but we've been working through those things. But we do have the public charter schools, which are offering different kinds of opportunities and programming that students can take advantage of. And then we have something that I'm really excited about is that we just worked to get rid of Class 8 licenses, and the Board of Public Ed supported us in that, as well as the Commissioner of Higher Ed. This has been something that Commissioner Christensen and I wanted to get accomplished for quite a while, as well as Dr. Tharp. So before, a college professor could teach a class for a high school student, like an upper level mathematics class, but they couldn't get high school credit for it if that teacher didn't have a teaching, K-12 teaching license. So they had to jump through a bunch of hoops and pay, you know, more money to get a class 8 license. And that just seemed ridiculous and like it was throwing up more barriers. We want more opportunities for our students, not less. We want these to be easier to attain. We want them to leave high school with these credits. So we took those barriers away and they can. So we're expanding those opportunities for students to get dual credit in those areas. And so we have students graduating with associate degrees. I mean, it's just really incredible what's available right now.
Yeah, that's what I love about this country. There's opportunity out there. If you just will reach it out and grab it and knock on some doors if you have to. Looking ahead to 2026, 2027, you know, what excites you about that?
I'm just really excited to continue working through our priorities, really focusing on getting high quality instructional materials, you know, in our schools, making sure that we provide resources so they can look at those and make sure they have reading programs that align with the science of reading, high quality math, and that students are doing well and they're getting them the support that they need. If they do need some help, we, you know, we have a statewide assessment that's not just at the end of the year anymore. It goes throughout the year. Parents can see how their students are doing and we can address those areas right away. That the students need additional support in. So we have a lot of great tools and resources out there for students. You know, we're expanding opportunities for our older students, more work-based learning, more career and technical education that leads to those high-quality jobs and skilled workers in Montana. So we're just excited to provide these resources and supports to our schools across the state.
How's AI integration going?
It's going well. You know, it's going quickly, and I think it's one of those things that we're just going to have to stay on top of. And so we're working with Dr. Jason Neifer out of the Montana Digital Academy to update guidance and our best practice booklet for the schools of Montana regularly. So we have a team that is on that committee from OPI Digital Academy and just really great people with these interests in technology from all over the state that are keeping eyes on this and making sure we get information out to schools continually.
Do you see
and
any,
make sure that that's updated.
Do you see any problems right now you're trying to address?
I think it's just making sure that the best practices are truly used, that students understand that they still have to be critical thinkers. So we really need to be making sure that we're teaching our students how to think, not what to think. Going back to your discussion on those social experiments, you know, school is to teach students how to read, write, and do math and how to think critically and problem solve. So they still need to analyze the information that they're getting from AI, making sure that, you know, they note when they put something in a paper that is AI generated. Making sure that the teachers are modeling those best practices. That's really what we're hoping to see.
There's a commission that is, and I know you're monitoring this, school funding, interim commission. What would you like to see if there was, you know, one innovation that every public school could adopt and there was funding for it, you know, what would that be?
So I do serve on the school funding interim commission and it has been quite a committee and a lot of work. We've had a lot of meetings and we will be meeting more this summer. We, you know, really need to take this opportunity that happens once, you know, every decade to look at how we're doing our school funding. I believe that our system is so complex right now. We have a lack of clerks across the state of Montana because it is a really technical position and really difficult to work on school budgets in Montana right now. So we are hoping, I am hoping and advocating for a more simplistic school funding formula. I think it's important that we be transparent to our taxpayers, especially with, you know, seeing some levies fail and things like that. I think people need to know where their funds are going. as far as funding public schools. And so I'm hoping we get something more transparent that is easier to explain and utilize in our schools as we fund them, make sure that the funds are going where they need to go and we get more funds directly to the classrooms.
You know, and this is not a real fair question with only a minute left on the clock, so to speak, but do you feel like those funds are being wisely spent for the most part? Are there some glaring examples of where our school funding is not being wisely spent?
No, but I do have some work coming up that I'm excited about doing. We have a new intensive assistance program for schools that are underperforming where we're going to be actually sending teams in. We're going to be encouraging them to utilize their funds in the ways we know, get the most results for students. And so we are wanting to see funds go to programs like MTSS, multi-system of supports, which really focus on making sure students have those foundational skills and then interventions for anything that they need, whether it's attendance, whether it's behavior or reading or math, that they have a plan in place. The school has a comprehensive team that's putting a plan in place to wrap that students in those supports they need.
You want parents knocking on teachers' doors, don't you?
I don't know about that, but we want parents
involved. Not at home, but you know what I mean. Be present, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we want parent engagement. We want parents involved in the school. And that's why I'm excited about this assessment and that parents can access their students' results. We need to make sure students know what they're learning, and parents deserve to know what they're learning and how they're doing.
Yes. Yes, right. That's what I meant. Be present there in your kids, yeah, in your education. Yeah. Hey, Susie, thank you
Absolutely.
So much for what you're doing. I mean, I can tell there's a lot of energy and it's fun. It's fun talking to educators because they're so hopeful, you know, and they love their job. And I can tell you do too. Thank you for what you do, Susie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Susie Hedlund again, our superintendent of public instruction.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.